From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. First of all, happy Victoria Day to our Canadian friends, and next hour, Jim Sparks and his personal story of alien abductions. Here's what's happening. Hugely, hugely tragic story. At least 51 people, including 20 children, were killed when a massive tornado struck an area outside of Oklahoma City on Monday afternoon. 145 people injured. Those counts will go up on both sides. Seven children alone were killed at the Plaza Towers Elementary School in Moore, Oklahoma. Emergency personnel still scouring the school's rubble Monday evening. The tornado was estimated to be at least 2 miles wide at one point, as it moved through Moore in the southern part of the Oklahoma City's metropolitan area. Categorized temporarily as an EF-4, winds 166 to 200 miles an hour. And scientists are saying the recent downturn in the rate of global warming will lead to lower temperature rises in the short term. Since 1998, there has been an unexplained standstill in the heating of the Earth's atmosphere. Mitch Batras, of course, heads up EarthChangesMedia.com. Mitch, this tornado, one of the saddest I've seen, very sad, probably one of the biggest in a long time. Joplin was bad a few years ago. I've never heard of a two-mile-wide tornado before. Have you?
Yes, I have. First of all, my heart and prayers go out to everyone out there. And whenever children are mentioned, it just tears me apart. I guess I'm a little bit angry about this, George, because these kinds of things have more of a prediction value than what is being used. It was just days ago we had a series of X-class flares. Matter of fact, it was 4 X-class flares and 5 M-class flares beginning on May 13th to May 17th. In almost direct correlation, what I've been writing and researching about for years, we've had large earthquakes. We also had the solar eclipse. Everything that I have researched and have put into books is happening. These extreme weather events, with all the passion I can muster, backed up by hard science, is indeed related to solar events. To go further in that, and I'm going to circle back around, George, to these tornadoes.
Okay.
Recently, just a couple of days ago, new studies have found that the Earth's core is about 40% less than it was previously determined. When the Earth's core is the direct correlation with Earth's magnetic field. It's what creates Earth's magnetic field. Earth's magnetic field has weakened up to 40%. So these M-class and X-class flares, even though they were smaller X-class flares, 1, 2, and 3, they have the an effect of like an X-15. The M-class flares have an effect of the X-class flares. Because of short time, let me go right back to the tornadoes. Unfortunately, Earth has seen this before, and actually, in some people that may be listening's lifetime, the record still in recorded history that holds today happened in March 18th, 1925. It was an F5 with winds over 300 miles an hour.
Gosh.
It still holds the record today. It also was the longest in duration, lasting 3.5 hours, 3.5 hours. Can you imagine that? And the speed of the tornado, the funnel moving along the land was 73 miles per hour. And it's still, unfortunately, very sad to say, the highest death toll, 1925 numbers, 695
yeah,
people
that,
dead.
Yeah, that was massive. Mitch, thank you so much. Always appreciate your feedback. Say a prayer for those folks in Oklahoma. I cannot imagine being a parent what it's like to send your little kid to school and then find out a tornado has hit that school and your child has died in it. Unbelievable story. The Doors founding keyboardist Ray Manzarek has died. He died in Germany after a long fight with cancer. He was 74 years old. The artist had been diagnosed with bile duct cancer. The Doors formed in 1965 after Manzarek happened to meet Jim Morrison on California's Venice Beach. The legendary rock group went on to sell 100 million albums worldwide, establishing 5 multi-platinum discs in the U.S. alone. Morrison died in 1971, but Manzarek carried on the Doors' legacy, continuing to work as a musician and an author. The Doors' guitarist, Robbie Krieger, said, "I was deeply saddened to hear about the passing of my friend and bandmate, Ray Manzarek. I'm just glad to have been able to have played Doors songs with him for the last decade. Ray was a huge part of my life, and I will always miss him." Back in 2008, I had the privilege of interviewing both Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger. This is what Ray had to say.
So there I am on the beach. Sun is beginning to set. It's almost time for Dorothy to come home and bring home the bacon. And who comes walking down the beach, kicking up water, with the sun setting behind him, wearing cutoffs, and like Krishna, the blue god from Indian mythology, he's kicking water up and diamonds are coming up because the sun is backlighting it, and I'm seeing the diamonds coming off of his feet. And this guy's got long hair and is just really buff. It's like, you know, 135 pounds, just about pretty thin, about 5'11". He's got abs. He's looking good. And lo and behold, who is it other than Jim Morrison? I'm like, God, it's Jim. Hey, Jim, come on over here, man. He goes, hey, Ray.
How about that? The band famously defied Ed Sullivan's request that they not sing the lyric higher when they performed Light My Fire on his show in 1969. Manzarek remembers the band publicly agreeing by choir boys. Yes, sir, we told them. We recall, whatever you say, sir, we'll change. The producers looked at us and said, hey, Jim, you're the poet. Think of something else. Wire, flyer, but don't say higher. Then the Doors went out and did the song exactly as they always did. Sullivan was so furious, he did not even shake their hands. Ray Manzarek, dead at the age of 74. The amount of time that asthma patients spend soaking up the sun may have an impact on the illness, according to researchers. A team at King's College in London said low levels of vitamin D, which is made by the body in sunlight, was linked to a worsening of symptoms. And the latest research shows that the vitamin calms an overactive part of the immune system in asthma. An ammunition shortage has persisted now for months, and police departments nationwide are taking notice. A department, for example, in Minnesota was so short on ammo, they asked for donations from the public. In St. Louis, the shortage has been prevalent for some time, due partly to concerns over future gun laws. With stricter laws being proposed, many gun owners are stocking up on the ammunition in case it becomes more difficult to obtain in the future. Private investigator Doug Hagman with us. Doug, this run is going to continue, I think. These manufacturers can't make enough.
Well, I think you're right. And you know what, George? I did some research on this very issue this past weekend, and here's what I got. I identified two reasons for what we're seeing, aside from the stocking up, which is being cut back by the dealers by at the point of sale. But two reasons. First, I spoke to an intelligence insider, a guy that's plugged in. He knows what's going on. And he told me flat out, he said, look, our government knows what's about to happen, about what's coming in the economy and what's just ahead with regard to what is being planned with our dollar. I wrote an article recently, one of the most widely read articles on the Internet. It was published by Canada Free Press called Intelligence Insider, We're Just Going to Kill the Dollar. Again, one of the most important articles I think I've ever written. It speaks to the agenda of a global takedown of our currency. And when they destroy the dollar, as they expect to do and intend to do, they are anticipating civil and social unrest.
Hence, people are buying ammo like crazy. How long will ammo store, Doug?
It depends on how it's stored, but it indefinitely. I mean, you know, for you can use it for forever, but just keep it dry, keep it...
If you can get it.
If, yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks, Doug Hagman. The dangers of sending text messages while driving gets more headlines, and drunk driving, of course, remains one of the main causes of automobile accidents. But a large new study helps explain why so many text messages with teens and young children are involved in other motor accidents. They're simply too sleepy to drive. Reports show that sleepy drivers cause car crashes. In a new study, the researchers at George Institute for Global Health in Australia suggest that a long-term lack of sleep may not only cause immediate drowsiness at the wheel, but may affect a young driver's judgment over time. I'm not sure we needed a study to know that. Get some sleep before you drive. Small Florida town buzzing with anticipation of who won the largest Powerball jackpot in history, estimated at $590.5 million. Some people are saying it's a 26-year-old woman from a city called Zephyr Hills, which is a small city of 13,000 people in Florida. We will find out soon enough. A man in Spain paid a psychic and a fortune teller $212,000 to come up with a love spell so he could get his former girlfriend back. It didn't work. He's been arrested. He broke into the fortune teller's house to try to get his money back. And what's going on with legislation that might help federal student loan borrowers? Will it happen? Up next, we'll be talking with Dr. Webster Tarpley about this on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. If you have a student loan, or perhaps you're a parent of a student who has student loans and you're responsible for them, this is your hour. Author, researcher, Dr. Webster Tarpley, philosopher of history, seeks to provide programs and strategies needed to overcome the current world crises, no matter what it may be. He's back on Coast to Coast. Webster, how are you?
Thank you very much, George. I'm glad to be with you.
Likewise as well. Where do we stand now with trying to fix this student loan debacle?
Well, it's an urgent problem. This is graduation season, right? You see it happening all around, right? The commencements are happening. The class of 2013 is going out into the wide world, except they're going under this huge cloud, or they're crushed. They're debt-ridden before they even start. We've got an average debt of $25,000 to $30,000 per graduate in student loans. The national total is now $1 trillion, $1,000 billion. That's more than anything except mortgages in terms of consumer loans. And of course, this is now the main fact in the lives of young people. The millennials are simply being crushed, and their lives are put on hold. They're so indebted with these high interest student loans that they can't rent a home, they can't buy a home, they can't get married, they can't have kids. And that, of course, means they can't go out and buy cars and refrigerators and washing machines. And if we don't do something about this, we're going to have a fall in the birth rate. We're going to have a demographic crisis. And you could say that the normal progress of a whole generation through life has been brought to a halt. So something has to be done. Now, what is going to happen under existing law is to make it even worse. On July 1st, the interest rate on a Stafford loan, which is a federal student loan category, is going to double.
Oh,
it's going to go from 3.4% to 6.8%. So that means if you've got $100,000 of loans, you're going to go from $3,400 a year of interest to $6,800 and so on, right? For the average student, it's going to be about $1,800 to $2,000.
Couple hundred bucks a month more.
Yeah, it's a car payment, right? It's a lot of money. And if you're 25, the chances are about 4 out of 10, 40% of them have student loans in some form. So something has got to be done. Now, I'm delighted to say that Elizabeth Warren, you know, billed as the great antagonist of Wall Street, has indeed come forward, and she has a bill. This is the Warren-Tierney bill. It's Elizabeth Warren in the Senate. And the primary sponsor in the House is Congressman John Tierney of this area north of Boston, Salem, Lynn, Nahant, these places. The bill essentially says that the interest rate on a Stafford loan, is going to go down to 0.75
0.5%. So 0.75%. So it's the difference between paying 6.8% and 0.75%.
That's a huge difference. Huge difference.
It's a 90% discount. So this gets to be serious money, as you can see. Now, it is the bill as drawn is somewhat narrow from my point of view. It's only for a year. It's only for Stafford loans, right? We want to say, no, that's too narrow. We want to get more support and do more good. What she needs to do is amend the bill so that it can finance the entire trillion. And that means Stafford loans,
everything,
subsidized, unsubsidized. There are Perkins loans. There are PLUS loans. If you're a parent and you've taken out a loan for your son or daughter, that's going to be a PLUS loan. There are consolidation loans. Those are loans which refinance earlier, higher student loan rates. And then there's the whole area of private sector loans, bank loans. Those can be 8%, 10%, 12%. The sky's the limit on those. So you'd want to say all of those should be refinanceable into the 0.75. But with those strictures, this is a tremendous thing. Now, here's the centerpiece for people who are concerned about the U.S. economy more generally. And this is actually a revolution. This is a historic breakthrough, and it's the best piece of legislation in this sense that's come out of the Congress in decades. The bill specifies that the money comes from the Federal Reserve. The bill says the students are going to get 0.75% as the interest rate. That is the rate at which a zombie bank, right? Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley.
The big boys.
The big boys. The Wall Street money center banks. They can, if they need to, borrow from the Federal Reserve discount window at 0.75%. So Warren and Tierney and their co-sponsors say, if you can have that sweetheart rate for a bank, then we owe the students nothing less. And it's not just the rate. The actual money comes from the Federal Reserve. Now, that's revolutionary.
And these bills don't slash the principal portion. They're just reducing the interest rate. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And obviously, I would like to go further. On the other hand, if you can't get this passed, it's difficult to see how you can get more ambitious things passed.
That's true.
I'm all for going much more ambitious, and we can talk about that later. But let's not make the good the enemy of the perfect, right? This is something good. Here's the idea, though. This is something that is going to be done without costing the taxpayer 1 cent. It does not raise the deficit 1 cent. It does not raise the national debt 1 cent. It actually relieves pressure on the federal budget, because all the money in the federal budget, which is right now assigned to issuing new student loans, that can be used for something else. Because as I'm saying, this money comes from the Federal Reserve. The bill says the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve shall, meaning they're ordered, they're coerced, they're forced, they're obliged. They're not invited. They're told, boys, transfer the money to the Secretary of Education, who then lends out the money. Now, that is essentially a partial nationalization of the Federal Reserve. And I know people, a lot of your listeners have been interested in, you know, various projects of, you know, reforming the Fed.
Right.
Some people
or even abolishing it. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I think that would be a bad idea. Here's where you see why. If you abolish the Federal Reserve, who's going to give you the cheap 0.75% rate?
Right.
At that point, you'd have to go to J.P. Morgan, and J.P. Morgan would say, oh, 12%, 15%, right? They could charge you whatever they wanted. The credit-creating power of the Federal Reserve has to be mobilized for the needs of the American people. So this is a partial nationalization. It's the first time anybody in Congress had said, let's force helicopter Ben Bernanke to cough up the money for a recovery. In this case, to take this tremendous burden off, at least partially, off the backs of the students. And I think that is that's the principle that we need. You were just talking about that tragic tornado that mm-hmm. you just discussed, right? We had Superstorm Sandy. How about something like this? If you're going to rebuild the New York, New Jersey area or this locality that's just been stricken, you need 0% 100-year credit.
Exactly.
Who can give that to you? The Fed can be forced by the Congress or even by a phone call from the president.
Webster, we're going to come back. We're going to ask you more about this, and we'll take some phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. Well, do you have a student loan? Are you paying a student loan? Check in with us as we talk with Webster Tarpley about trying to change the student loan procedures and the interest rates. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Webster Tarpley with us, noted author and researcher. We'll take your calls in a moment. Webster, where does the Warren Tierney bill stand right now? Has it come out of House? What's happening with it?
We've just had a preliminary skirmish, which didn't go so well. This is now in the House Education and Workforce Committee last Thursday. This is John Klein of Minnesota. It went down on a party line vote, 23-14. All the Republicans voted to keep the interest rates high. I would suggest that old Jerry Ford 1975 headline. Remember, Ford to city, drop dead.
Yeah.
This is GOP to students, drop dead. The Republicans were joined by Jared Polis. This is an amazing vote. He's a Democrat from Boulder, Colorado, University of Colorado at Boulder. I think in any rational universe, he would be essentially looking for a job, right? Because this is all students in his
district. That's right.
But now we still have conference committees. We still have lots and lots of possibilities. There are competing proposals, right? You can look at the Republicans have their proposal, which this committee passed, which could get your student loans up to 8.5%. Wouldn't that be great? It would be better to do nothing than to pass that. Obama has a floating rate program where you lock it in at about 1% over the 10-year Treasury rate. So that would be about, say, 3%. But
that's still high for students.
Still, it's much too high. And why, right? And why not tap into the Federal Reserve? The problem with all these other proposals, right, there's Reed, Durbin, there's Gillibrand, they all have interest rates that are too high, and none of them gets the money from the Federal Reserve. So they're all on budget. What we need to do is de-emphasize federal borrowing and federal taxation. We need to get into the area of federal lending. Now, one of the big objections is that if a zombie bank borrows at 0.75%, that's because they're a much better credit risk than the students. Wait a minute. Those zombie banks were all bankrupt. Every last one of them was gone, insolvent, finished in the late autumn of 2008. Most of the students you're dealing with have not gone through personal bankruptcy, so they're much better credit risks than a zombie bank or a hedge fund hyena. So this is now open-ended, and the question is what happens depends on the American people. The Republican leadership is against it. I suspect the Democratic leadership is against it. Obama is going to be against it because of his faithful service to Wall Street, and Wall Street doesn't like it.
Not at all.
Clear.
Let me ask you one more question before we go to some calls here, Webster, and let me get this out. Now they're saying 91 people probably dead now in that Oklahoma tornado. 91.
Tragedy
indeed. I want to be the devil's advocate for just one moment. Nobody has forced anybody to go to college and to get the money and to borrow the money and to do what they have to do. What about responsibility? Why don't they just say, look, I'm not going to go to school. I can't afford it.
Well, responsibility, you're not dealing with a market here. You're dealing with a cartel, right? When we had LIBOR, the London Interbank Offered Rate, it turned out that there was an illegal conspiracy of 17 zombie banks to fix that rate. And that had consequences for what people were paying here.
Sure.
So that's essentially RICO, right? That's racketeer-influenced and corrupt organization. So that's them. Let's step back and look at the American workforce. We have to compete with China if we want to survive. We've got to compete with Japan. We've got to compete with Europe. We've got to compete with these other economic powers that are increasing the number of kids they put into college, and they're doing a much better job. It is a matter of national survival to allow more kids to to go to college and get degrees.
I agree.
Because if you don't do that, you are ethnographic material. You're going to be interviewed by Chinese anthropologists and tell them how this great civilization collapsed. Now, I just have a recommendation for the class of 2013. The one problem with this proposal is it came at the end of the academic year. We needed this in September, October, so we could build up on the campuses and make it happen. I appeal tonight to the class of 2013. Make your graduation count for something. Don't just sit there and listen to a bunch of platitudes from some stupid celebrity who's getting paid much too much. You turn that into a rally for the Warren-Tierney bill. It's called the Bank on Students Loan Fairness Act. It's going to cut your interest rate to 0.75%.
And that would also cut current loans, right? So
no, unfortunately, it's only the ones that are issued starting July 1st. But again, if you want to get on the scoreboard, you can say to Elizabeth Warren, look, I have 5 million people here who are going to support it, but they want to refinance. That was what I was trying
to get at
the beginning.
That's right.
It's much too narrow. On the other hand, if you can't pass this, what can you pass? What you've got to do is find out who the speaker is at your graduation. Ask them, demand that they make a strong statement in favor of this bill. If they don't want to do that, they don't care about you. You might as well disinvite them and get somebody who cares. You can go to my website, tarpley.net. Go to the Speaker's Bureau. There's a contact box. You can get me as your speaker if you want. Otherwise, I urge you to do it anyway. Get in touch with me. We have the United Front Against Austerity, UFAA. We can help you. We have leaflets. We have intelligence. We have the good arguments you need to make. Talk to the president of your college or university. If they're not willing to fight for this low interest rate, they don't care about higher education. Same thing goes for the Board of Trustees. Let me also talk to the veterans of Occupy. They occupied a lot of public space, a lot of parks. For what? There were no demands. Anybody knows that you occupy something to get your demands, and then you go home. But they said these anarchists who ran this said, oh, no, we have no demands. We might win the demands and get co-opted. Well, that's exactly the goal. So instead of having an occupation for nothing, have it for something. What we need, really, to put this on the map is one of these great campuses, right? Ann Arbor or Berkeley or San Francisco State or, you name it.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Whatever the one you like best is. Take over a building, occupy it, and say, we're staying here until Obama signs the bill into law because we're sick of going into life here with 0.75%. Same thing for the reunions, right? We got a lot of debt-ridden alumni coming back for reunions. Same story. They probably know the score better than the students even. Let them put these statements out, congressmen, senators, and so forth, and they'll feel the heat. Maybe they'll see the light.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Roy in Marion, North Carolina. Hey, Roy, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Wow. Thank you, George. Dr. Tarpley, just a couple weeks ago, got a hold of your magnificent history, 9/11 synthetic terror, made in USA.
Great work.
And thank you very much.
Been just absorbed in it. And your debate on C-SPAN a couple years ago, you probably remember, versus Jonathan Kay and David Frum.
About a year ago.
Oh, that was only a year ago, huh?
Yep.
Things have been slowing down. They've been happening. That was the single greatest exposition of the history of fascist plots I've ever heard. Kay and Frum did not have anything to say when you pointed out that our founding fathers were dedicated conspiracy theorists when they repeatedly pointed out the designs and plans that Mother England was working on us. Let me try to tell you, I believe there's a big, giant conspiracy going on right now. It started with the Boston Marathon bombing. That was all American. Those Tsarnaev boys, that's like white Russians, children of the Tsars. They had at least $1 million worth of help from America and nothing but America.
All right, Roy, I got to hold you to the student loans, though. We don't have that much time. Anything?
Well, yeah, that's important, but it's small potatoes compared to what the fascists are trying to start a civil war in the And I believe the Petro fires that have been going on is the good guy.
All right. That's another subject.
Look, in response to this, I would say you got to readjust your priorities now. We need activism. We don't need analysis. We don't need commentary. We don't need complaining. If you don't like these conspiracies, the ones we know and the ones we don't know, then get out there and fight. Do something about it. If we can't get the Warren Tierney bill passed, I don't know what we can do. Is the class of 2013 a collection of beaten dogs? Have they given up on struggle already? I hope they haven't. But for those like the caller who have a little bit more experience, you've got to get out there. And for example, if you're sick and tired of the lawlessness of the Federal Reserve, let's nationalize a piece of it. This is the first time anybody has told the Federal Reserve, you have to do this in the public interest. And don't tell us about markets, and don't tell us about your monetary policy or anything else. You can do it. Back in the crash,
they should do it on their own right now. Wouldn't they look great?
All the time. They had a line of credit of $27 trillion for zombie banks, including foreign zombie banks, Barclays Bank, Deutsche Bank, whatever it was. They had auction facilities, right? They had the TAF, the TALF. There's a list of about 10 different facilities that they had. Forced them to open up these student loans, right? They could formalize it. They could have a student loan facility where everybody can borrow at 0.75%. And here's another one. Suppose these Tea Party characters in the Congress don't see the light. Well, the Federal Reserve, Bernanke, they can create those credit facilities, credit stimulus, on their own. They don't need any laws from Congress. They never had those. The whole thing is lawless. So if we had a real president or a real mass movement, you could get on the phone with Bernanke and say, open up a student loan credit facility right now and start buying bundled student loans at 0.75% or some other low figure. If you're fearing foreclosure, right? A lot of people have that problem. It's the same principle. If you're about to default, let the Federal Reserve buy your mortgage, and then you try to continue to pay at 0.75%. Won't that be much easier than the current, you know, bloated rate? We're just finding that that the banks have been hoarding money that they were supposed to share with the victims of this crisis. So the point is, it's the principle that can lift this country out of a depression. It's the principle that can lift the world. Is that the central bank has to be nationalized, and it has to start putting out credit for the public interest. We got to rebuild our infrastructure, rebuild our housing and canals and ports and rail lines and electricity grids. All of that can be done with very low interest, very long-term credit from the Federal Reserve. And it's not on the budget, right? You got to remember, the Federal Reserve has theoretically infinite credit-creating power. We want to mobilize that.
That's right. That's a good point.
The Treasury is under tremendous pressure. They've got to maintain the social safety net.
Let's go to Amarillo, Texas. Landon's with us, east of the Rockies. Hi, Landon. Thank you.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I actually called in about this a few weeks ago. I didn't really get a chance to explain it completely. The One People's Public Trust, they've filed UCC documents and effectively foreclosed on the corporations and banking systems in the world. And I actually have a particular instance. There's a man named Ira Goodman, and you can find this story online and just Google his name. He has actually sent what's called a courtesy notice to Sallie Mae about his student loan debt, and basically this courtesy notice was made by the One People's Public Trust. It's kind of a template that you can fill out and customize for your situation. And it lets your creditors know that they've been foreclosed upon and that you no longer owe them anything, that there was nothing.
Now, will that hold up in a court of law? Webster, what do you think? I mean, it's like some people who say, look, there is no legitimate income tax. I'm not paying. Most of them lose and go to jail.
Yes, I think that is totally unrealistic, and I think even as a matter of law, that's extremely dubious. Let's live in the real world. Working people can't go off on these, you know, Don Quixote tilting at windmill stuff, right? The legal crank stuff gets us nowhere. It's very concrete. Families need relief. They need Medicare for all. They need a halt to foreclosures. They need to cut the student loan burden. Above all, they've got to keep the social safety net intact. No cuts to Social Security. No cuts to Medicare. Keep food stamps intact. Raise it. Don't lower it. Don't, you know, it's $1.50 per person per meal. Let's get that up, or we're going to have people with cognitive deficiencies and malnutrition. We're going to have pellagra, rickets, and scurvy. We got to keep the unemployment benefits intact. We got to roll back the sequester. That's all on the federal budget. The stuff that's off budget that the Federal Reserve could take over and relieve the pressure on the budget happens to include this question of the student loans. Now, if it's a Sallie Mae loan, that's probably a private loan these days, at least. Again, I would suggest urgently to Elizabeth Warren, broaden your bill, not just Stafford loans, but any kind of student loan, including, you know, if you paid for it on your credit card, you should be able to refinance that at 0.75%. And I would like to challenge Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and these other people in the Tea Party. We've heard so much hot air from them about the Federal Reserve and how bad it is. Here's a chance to actually do something. And again, don't tell me you're going to audit it. You're going to find it's corrupt. Well, guess what? We know it's corrupt. We want relief. We want to make them pay. This is a concrete way to say, guess what, Bernanke? You are going to pay. You're going to help the millennials and others, right? Because people go back to school, you know, to get degrees for professional reasons, to get promoted, to, you know, to stay abreast of the job market. We want Bernanke to finance, you know, cheap federal student loans.
It would be, Webster, the greatest public relations coup they ever could do if they did that.
Who?
The Federal Reserve. If they just announced on their own, we're dropping the rate to 0.75 to help people, it would be amazing.
Well, that would also stimulate the desire for more. But, of course, what do we want to do? We're saying they should stop being a central bank that serves only economic parasites. Right now they serve zombie banks, hedge fund hyenas, and that's it. Nothing for the real economy. You produce anything, you're a farmer, a manufacturer, a miner, mining company, biotech, Silicon Valley, right, IT. They don't care about that. We've got to reform that. We've got to get...
Well, let me tell you, Webster, keep us abreast of what's going on here. With this, as you said, it got beaten up already in a committee, but let's see what happens. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.